You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, February the 7th. It's been about 10 minutes since we last talked, so I want to remind you that the party is happening right now, the Political Cesspool online chat virtual fan party, happening as we speak, this very moment, at cfcc.org. And the time has now come for me to introduce to you this evening's featured guest, a man who should be readily familiar to our audience. He has certainly made appearances on our show in the past. He's spoken at an American Renaissance conference. He's an author, a former professional educator, now a martyr in the truest sense of the word. He is my very good friend, Frank Borzolleri, up in New York tonight. Frank, how are you?
I've been better, James, but I'm very happy to be on your show, and thank you for that introduction.
Well, the introduction was the very least I could do. I want to let everyone know that I hold Frank in the highest of regards. He is a man that I've gotten to know over the years, and a man that is certainly worthy of your support, particularly under the crushing circumstances in which he finds himself. But Frank, before we get to the story and what's happened to you and your pending litigation and what people can do to rally behind you, give us a little more information about your career as a professional educator in New York and what precipitated your downfall from that profession.
Yeah, and I think, James, that's an important part of the story is how I got to where I was and then came falling down to the cowardly political correctness of the Archdiocese of New York. Starting off, I have two master's degrees from two major universities. I have a master's degree in communications from Fordham University and a master's degree in educational administration from St. John's University, which that degree qualifies me to be a school principal. So I was an English teacher, and I spent these years in the Catholic school system in the Archdiocese of New York. As you know, I'm a lifelong devout Catholic, and you would think my own church would treat me minimally fairly. Well, as an employee of the Archdiocese of New York, I had excelled so far in my job performance. They thought so highly of me that they promoted me by my third year in the Archdiocese to the Dean of Student Affairs and in charge of Student Affairs and Discipline. And then within 2 years of that, I was promoted to another school in the Archdiocese as an elementary school principal. So by my fourth year in the Archdiocese of New York, I had attained really the highest position that you could attain in the school as principal, as the headmaster. I had a perfect evaluation from all of my superiors, and I mean perfect in the sense that I got the highest ratings across the board. I had a 4.0 grade point average for my master's degrees, state certification in New York State, which is necessary to be a school principal, and was awarded by St. John's University for excellence in educational administration in leadership. You couldn't possibly have higher accolades and higher qualifications than I have. And I mean on the record what my bosses themselves wrote and said about me. Well, after my second year at Our Lady of Mount Carmel School in the Bronx, after my second year as principal, I was renewed for a third year and had already signed my contract for my third year as principal. And then in that summer, after the school year had ended, we found out that the New York Daily News was going to be writing a story that was coming out of nowhere. They would be writing a story on my past writings which were controversial about race and immigration, and that had appeared in a local Queens newspaper, a local New York City newspaper, for a few years, and then a collection of those writings were put into two different books that I had published. Now, the reason I say that this came out of nowhere is because there was no story there. The Archdiocese of New York, my employer, had already reviewed my books in 2007, 4 years earlier. They reviewed my books and officially ruled them as not in violation of Catholic teaching, and it was fine that I was there and fine that I got that I'd be promoted. Well, Daily News came out with this article, and my direct boss, the pastor of the church and the school where I work, told me that I had nothing to worry about. The article would be ridiculous. He had read all my writings, and I had nothing to worry about, and he was going to back me up fully, and I should just relax. And he even said, anything, Frank, it will help you sell more books. Well, this hatchet job of an article came out August 1st, 2011, in a full-page article in the Sunday New York Daily News. It was almost entirely false, and I mean factually false, in ways that I cannot get into with you now because it's too long. I mean, there are many articles online about it. And within 24 hours of that article coming out, the Archdiocese of New York fired me for what they called writings that were incompatible with Catholic teaching. Now, of course, they had already reviewed and approved the very same writings that they fired me for. They had reviewed and approved 4 years earlier. And then at that point, after firing me, they still owed me money. And they told me that they would not release the money that they owed me if I went public and revealed the fact in writing that they had already approved my book. You see, after they fired me, they were running around claiming that they had never seen my writings. Not only is it false, but I had it in writing that it was false. Well, anyway, make a long story short, as you know, I have a libel defamation lawsuit going against the New York Daily News for that article. I have a courageous lawyer who is doing all of the work on contingency, so he's not charging me, but I do have legal expenses, and then because I cannot be hired because of all of the negative information that I was fired by the Catholic Church as a racist, no one will hire me. So I was, as you know, I was hired as a school principal in Pennsylvania a little over a year ago, and then within a few weeks of being hired, they fired me when they found out that I had been fired by the Archdiocese of New York. So I've now been fired twice by Catholic schools in the past 3.5 years, simply because of political correctness. And I have now the same lawyer. My lawyer has instituted a second lawsuit against the Daily News for the article they wrote about my second firing, which was equally libelous. So I am now, as VDare, and you know, VDare.com is a friendly website to us.
Sure.
VDare.com printed that I was homeless, and it was really the first time that it was mentioned publicly, and I sort of have gone with it since then. So I really need help to eat, to live. I lost my home 2 years ago. I held on as long as possible, could no longer pay the mortgage. And so I am, for the most part, have been jobless and homeless. I need help with living, and I need help,
Frank,
with my legal expenses.
Frank, hold on right there. We're going to keep you, and we're going to continue to give more information about your situation and, in fact, how people can help. And it'll be an honor to do so right after this.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
backpack is more than just a bag. It's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. When I stopped to do some walking, I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill, and I feel great.
I had 3 bypasses 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it could have went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do it without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
You know, folks, I have said this recently. I look back on our body of work, especially since the end of December, you know, the last month and a half or so, and this show just continues to get better, and the topics that we cover, you know, always important because we cover some of the same issues every week or issues related to some of our signatures. But I'll tell you this right now. You know, I don't know if we've done a show this important or rather an interview this important in years, because we're talking about helping one of our own right now, helping a man who needs it and a man who has paid the price for simply having beliefs and taking for himself the freedom to have his own original thoughts. And so our guest right now is Frank Borzilleri, former school administrator, former teacher. This is a man who is overly qualified for his profession. He talked, and I really appreciate the length to which Frank went in that opening segment of this hour to give you his biography and his background. We know that he is more than well-educated. We know that he sailed through promotion after promotion as he climbed the ladder in the school system in which he worked. And now he is homeless, he has lost his home, and unable to find work, not because he wasn't qualified, not because he didn't have the educational requirements, but because of his beliefs. Now I ask you, is there anyone else other than a heterosexual white man that would suffer such an indignity and such an injustice in 2015? The answer obviously is a rhetorical and a resounding no. This man is paying the price. And, you know, again, it wasn't as though he was proselytizing on school grounds or using the school Xerox machine to put forth his beliefs. Frank, let me ask you this. You talked about what the New York Daily News had written and how it had caused you to be unhirable. What was it that they said, that they alleged to you that was so racist? I mean, what was it that the Catholic Church had originally sanctioned, but then all of a sudden became abhorrent to them? What was the allegation that you had said or believed that cost you everything?
Yeah, James, one of the great misconceptions, and you've heard me say this before, and I'm talking about even with people who are on my side, even with people who sympathize with me, one of the great misconceptions is that I was sort of rolling along as a Catholic school principal. The New York Daily News then exposed some writings I had done years, and I mean 10 to 15 years earlier, about race, and then when the Catholic Church saw those writings, they fired me. That's not what happened at all. My writings had already been reviewed and approved. The very same writings the church eventually fired me for, they had reviewed and approved in writing 4 years earlier. The reason they fired me was because of the horrendous publicity created. It was a purely political move. Al Sharpton, who's not even Catholic, is the person who the Catholic Church answers. They're more afraid of him than they are in wanting to keep what Jesus would do, the righteous thing to do. So the New York Daily News article was false and defamatory in every possible way. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you. In the first place, they quoted someone who I had never even had a conversation with and claimed that that person was my immediate boss, my principal, and that person was speaking against me. So even my own supporters who saw the articles were saying, well, why is your own principal speaking against me? That person wasn't my principal. I never even spoke to that person. The reporter spoke to my real principal, and he gave me a glowing review and said how well I got along with all the Black and Hispanic students and how lovingly I had treated them. Well, she didn't quote him. Not only did she not quote my real principal, she quoted someone else, and the Daily News pretended that was my principal. You can't make this stuff up. It's incredible that they got away with that. They were claiming that I was doing research on minority students in the school. All lies. The Archdiocese of New York, the Catholic Church, didn't care. The Catholic Church, which I have lived with and been part of all my life, is concerned with two things only: money and political correctness. They are not concerned with all. In other words, when the Catholic Church makes decisions, they don't say, what is the righteous thing to do? What would Jesus do? They don't even consider that. It's all about politics. And that's why they fired me for the very same writings that they had approved 4 years earlier. And unfortunately, I cannot sue. As a legal matter, I cannot sue the Catholic Church, which is what a lot of people wanted me to do. So we're suing the Daily News, not once, but twice, for two separate articles.
Frank, this is Keith Alexander. Did the Daily News article quote anything from any of your writings at all, or did they just broad brush you with the charge of racism?
Well, they minimally quoted from my writings, and I mean very minimally. It was the context. For example, the headline itself, the headline of the article was Principle of Hate. I mean, they didn't even say Columnist of Hate. Principle of Hate. You're talking about a school principal who was beloved by my students, and most of which were Black and Hispanic in a poor section of the Bronx. Even that jerk priest who gave me his word that he was going to stand by me and then fired me within 24 hours, even he said, in all of Frank's years, there was never one complaint ever from a parent that I had mistreated a child or discriminated against a child on account of race. The church fired me simply out of fear and cowardice and political correctness. And not only that, and this is another key point, it would be one thing to do that, but then to outright lie, and say that they had never even read the writings. Well, I had it in writing that they read and approved it, and they would not pay me the money they owed me if I went public with that information.
You know, Frank, it shouldn't be discounted what you've mentioned, and I was going to make mention of that, and you've already done so, but I remember reading about this when this originally occurred. Of course, the legal process in this country is just woefully slow. I mean, it runs right at a sloth-like pace, you know, covered in molasses. But I remember when this story first came out, when you were first relieved of your duties, that it was stated that, you know, obviously you worked in a school in the Bronx that it was hardly 100% racially homogenous. In fact, it was majority, you know, at least a significant percentage non-white. And they loved you. Your colleagues loved you. You never had a complaint. The parents, the students, many of them non-white, they loved you. But none of that mattered. None of that mattered because, it's, as you mentioned, you know, because you've written some common sense things about race. And let me tell you something. I get that in my own daily life here in Memphis, a majority black city. You know, I have never had a run-in with a black on the street or frankly, any of the hell we've caught as a result of our responsibilities as hosts of this show, all of the negative comments have come from whites, you know, white cowards, white sellouts. And so, you know, none of that surprises me. But the fact of the matter remains that because you held beliefs on your own time outside of the school and you didn't let that beliefs, as no one would expect you, no decent and rational person would have expected you to – just because we hold certain truths about racial realities, that we would let that interfere with the way we administer our profession to students of color.
To perform our job.
And to perform our job. But anyway, because you held these beliefs, private beliefs, not private beliefs, but because you had beliefs outside of the school, you were fired. Fired solely because of your personal beliefs.
And not only that, but those articles that I wrote were written between 1997 and 2002. It wasn't even like when I left school, I was then active in writing about politics. I wasn't even doing that anymore. These were writings that were dug up, and I never hid them. I never hid them. My books were published. They were on Amazon, but it wasn't an issue. It was never an issue. Never an issue with the kids, with the parents, with my bosses, with my colleagues. We had two big statements that I had prepared for the reporter. And I think you've seen them, two major statements, almost identical. One signed by all of my colleagues, my teachers at the school, and one signed by my former students who had already graduated, overwhelmingly black and Hispanic, supporting me. Again, the reporter didn't print a word of that, didn't print a word of support from my
boss. We've got to take a break. We're going to come back with you at the top of this next segment, and we're going to get that information about how people can support you, and we're going to find out an update on when you think there might be a resolution.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. You a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party.us.
Oh, yeah, oh, wanna be by my side. Oh, yeah, oh, now it's finally time.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, what this interview goes to show, and this isn't a new story, but I'm embarrassed that it's been so long it's been so long since our last interview with Frank Borzilleri. We can either hang together or we'll surely hang separately. It's certainly much easier for them if they can pick off truth tellers one at a time from various professions and make an example out of people like Frank. It keeps everyone else in line, right? Well, you know, if we allow it to happen, it certainly will. Nobody bucks the system. Nobody bucks cultural Marxism and gets away with it. Well, let's change that. Let's help a man who did nothing wrong except for write his opinion, his very heartfelt and genuine opinions about racial realities some years ago, never tried to hide it, never pretended he didn't do it, never backed away from it, which, hey, he should be heralded and helped just for that reason. But Frank, I want you to answer this next question very quickly, and I want to get to the real meat of this interview. Why, I'm just curious here, why did this story come up when it did? As you mentioned, it wasn't as though you'd written a new article and all of a sudden it was just there and it was easy for them to sink their teeth into. Did some enterprising, you know, enforcer of political correctness, a.k.a. what passes for reporters or journalists these days,
yeah,
they just all of a sudden ran into some of your writing?
Like a bulldog with a bloody bone, as they say.
Well, the reason that this, what was astounding about it is I had told the reporter this was not a story. It wasn't a story because I wasn't doing anything currently. The writings were from many years prior, and the fact that the Archdiocese had already reviewed the writings. So in that sense, if you wanted to tell my bosses about them, they already knew about the writings. So it wasn't a story at all. Well, you had a very left-wing reporter, a history of being someone named Corin Lesh, a young a woman, a beast, actually, a left-wing reporter who was determined to do a hatchet job. Really, she's the one who should have been fired by the Daily News for printing those falsehoods. So she was determined to get someone like me. She had been told by the person that I had mentioned to you before, whom I'm also suing. I'm suing the Daily News, two individual reporters, and two individual people. Well, one of the individual people that I'm suing is the person who was quoted in the article when they were pretending that that was my direct boss. Well, that person evidently was angry that I had gotten the job of principal at the school instead of her. That and then tipped off the reporter, so it was a perfect storm. You had someone who was a lousy principal whose contract had not been renewed at her school, wanted the job that I got, was in a jealous rage at me, even though we didn't even know each other, and then got a left-wing reporter to write that article. So you had the perfect storm of an incompetent person who was in a jealous rage and a left-wing reporter who was out to get me, and they outright lied. And that's why they're being sued, and that's why we're not backing down, as you said. I am going after them. This is our one chance to get some justice for, you know, people like me.
Well, let me ask you this, too, and just very quickly, because this is a question coming in from the chat room. And by the way, I want to let people know that we are discussing this case as Frank presents it here live on the Political Cesspool right now in the Council of Conservative Citizens chat room at cfcc.org. They have an online fan party for the Political Cesspool listenership. simultaneously with each live broadcast. And Frank, I want to let you know that people in there are pledging support and going to the website, which I'm about to give, and they're making financial contributions. We hope many more people listening to this program will do so. But one of the questions, Frank, is has anyone of note voted support for your writings? Anyone beyond Jared Taylor and Peter Brimelow? Or support for your case,
you mean,
I should
has
say.
Has anyone of note written in my support?
Yes, in response to your firing.
Jack Kerwick from BeliefNet.com wrote two articles in support of me around the time that I had gotten fired. Outside of that, no one in mainstream conservatism, no one in that crowd. And, of course, I neglected to add the great John Derbyshire has written two articles in support of me. He wrote one for On Tacky, and he wrote one on V Dare. So you have John Derbyshire, Jared Taylor, obviously Peter Brimelow, and Jack Kerwick. And that's that's a very limited group. I mean, that's why, as you say, we need to support each other because we're not getting support anywhere out there. And the irony of this is that, as your co-host said before, our views represent the majority view, and yet we don't control the culture. So a guy like me gets fired and is homeless, even though I'm a school principal with two master's degrees. So it was
two masters, universally praised by his peers and his students and the parents of those students, and here he is,
homeless.
Here he is, without a job and without a way to get an income, all because and only because of his beliefs. This is the case of Frank Borzilleri, a modern-day martyr, if we allow it to be. Now, Frank, I know you have some dueling lawsuits pending. I have heard from people in the know that some of your briefs are very well done and very promising. When do you think, one way or another, a resolution will be had on these cases?
We on the first lawsuit, what we are waiting finally for oral arguments. It will be the first. I mean, there's been a lot of paperwork, and yes, indeed, you are correct. And there are some lawyers that are part of our movement who have seen the paperwork, and it's really very well done. So we are as confident as we can be, and we should have. We go to oral arguments. It's hard to say. I would say within 4 to 6 months is kind of what we were told, but the process in New York State, moves very slowly. The second lawsuit was only filed last week because the statute of limitations is 1 year for a defamation suit. So the second lawsuit has just begun, but we are relentless, but we need support. And it's hard for me to do this living out of my car and trying to get something to eat. But
I was going to mention that.
Great lawyer.
Frank, I appreciate you being so forthright and so forthcoming. And I want to say, could you imagine a black educator being fired anywhere in the country, a black administrator being fired for anything they may have written? And, of course, what Frank wrote wasn't racially incendiary at all. It was, certainly taboo as far as so-called mainstream conservative goes. But these conservative cowards, they disgust me so much. Sean Hannity, if you'd been black, Frank, Sean Hannity would make you his co-host. He'd let you live in his house. He'd give you $1 million.
He'd be on you like a cheap suit, as they say.
Oh, my God. Oprah Winfrey, yeah. You'd be on her show. It's just utterly depraved. But you mentioned a second ago, and I want to commend you for your honesty. You're in your car right now conducting this interview. And there's a reason for that.
How do people send you money if they need to? Okay, if people want to contribute to your living expenses or to help you out financially, how do they do it, Frank?
Well, I think I'm not sure if it's on your website, but my website is culturalstudiespress.com. Now, that used to be the place where I sold my books, but I had to create a special page for donations, so it's actually /special. It's all one word. If people go to culturalstudiespress.com/special. So that website, culturalstudiespress.com, is where I normally just sold books, but for contributions to me, it would be culturalstudiespress.com/special.
And I want people to know that we have posted that URL into the CFCC chat room. People have been using it, so they say. Hopefully they are. Hopefully more will. That will be featured prominently front and center at thepoliticalcesspool.org tomorrow when we post the write-up to tonight's program. And we'll have the link there encouraging people to donate. But again, that link one more time, culturalstudiespress.com/special. And you can donate there via PayPal, and that goes directly to you, correct, Frank?
Yes, you can either use PayPal or just a regular credit card, and there's also a P.O. box there if somebody wants to mail a payment.
All right, well, we will encourage them to do so. I'll put a write-up on it tomorrow. Frank, we will keep in touch with you, and, of course, when anything breaks with either of these pending lawsuits, certainly let us know so we can inform the audience. And folks, if you want to see this reach a favorable resolution, certainly Frank needs your help. He needs your help not only to see these lawsuits reach their full conclusion, but also to survive. As we mentioned, as Keith mentioned, as Frank mentioned, he's calling in for from his car tonight to conduct this interview. And there's a reason for that. And you know what that reason is. culturalstudiespress.com/special. Frank, thanks so much. God bless you. We're going to do everything we can to help you. Thank you for telling the truth, and thank you for not backing down, even in the light of this devastation.
Pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
The practitioners of tolerance and diversity have really done a number on Frank, and we're going to do what we can to counteract their malevolence. We're going to take a break, and Keith's going to break this down right after this. Thank you, Frank Borzilleri.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back to Get On the Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Well, you know, again, a very important interview. If you hadn't heard the story of Frank Borzilleri before, and I know Frank, and you know, I don't typically raise money for other people. In fact, almost never. It takes everything we can get just to keep this show on the air, and so, you know, we're very protective of that, and we don't want to mislead or misuse our audience and the limited resources that the good Lord has given us. And certainly when we do have anything extra, we like to reallocate it to the network that makes this show possible and keep it all in the family. But, you know, Frank's story is a story of a modern-day martyr. You know, it's a true story, and I know Frank, and I've broken bread with Frank on several occasions. In fact, I spent a little time with Frank in December in Washington. He was there at an event that I was at, and, you know, this man's suffering. He's hurting, and he's hurting for no other reason than he has beliefs that are politically incorrect, but very sincere and true and right.
And furthermore, he has expressed them in a very polite, reasoned way. This is not hate speech under any circumstances. And see, what this shows you, what Frank's story shows you, is that unlike some of these civil rights figures or anti-civil rights figures like Edgar Ray Killen or Bobby Frank Cherry or whatnot that are accused with bombing people or killing people or things like this, it doesn't matter. You're going to be destroyed if you have dissenting views. If you have any dissenting view from liberal orthodoxy whatsoever, they will bury you, as Nikita Khrushchev said. You know, they are going to make sure that anybody who dares contest or challenge liberal orthodoxy on any of the topics that the left thinks are important for transforming our nation, transforming our society, transforming our culture, that you will pay the price. And political correctness is almost diabolically the perfect vehicle for doing this. You know, unlike the communists of the old Soviet Union, they don't knock on your door at midnight, haul you off to the basement of the Lubyanka and put a bullet in the base of your brain. If they did that, that would probably provoke an armed counter-reaction. And they don't want that. Instead, they're going to get the message out for a softer type of tyranny. You won't be able to earn a living unless you're some type of freebooter, somebody who basically has his own business, is his own boss. If you work for an organization, governmental, quasi-governmental, with a big private sector employer, they will destroy you if you dare to express that unorthodox view. And this is, you know, anybody that you know, takes issue, and nobody bucks the revolution, like we said earlier, and gets away with it. They will hound you just like they did people like Edgar Ray Killen. They will, you know, prosecute you six times. They'll bring you, haul you into court as a wheezing oxygenarian on an oxygen tank and with a walker until they finally make something stick so that you are part of their morality play. This is like a Stalinist show trial, basically. This is what they've done. They have destroyed the man to the point that he is homeless, living in his car, living hand to mouth, when he's obviously a talented educator, somebody who was actually helping minority children, black and Hispanic children.
How ironic is that, Keith? Good point.
He was actually doing a great job in reaching those students and helping them achieve academic success, but because his views don't square with leftist orthodoxy, they've destroyed him. They've destroyed his life. I'm sure his marriage is falling apart. I'm sure that just about anything bad that can happen to you is what they have in store for you, and this is the message that is not lost on people. And like he said, it's people that think like Frank are the majority. We're not the minority, but the people with the power are backing the left, or they are the left.
Let's go to Pete in Iowa, and then Pappy's got a comment. Pete in Iowa. Hello, are you there, Pete?
Yeah, I can hear you guys. Can you hear me?
We hear you loud and clear.
Okay. And that is, I just think that, like, the system in the United States, it's just built on a lot of bad stuff. But at the same time, I think it could be helped. And, you know, I was thinking the other day, you know, about affirmative action and like, how Jesse Jackson always comes to these companies wanting to know what the racial composition is. The government and those companies haven't understood the invention of lying, you know, like that Ricky Gervais movie. They need to just lie about statistics, and smart people who are taking the SAT need to just fill in black. And, you know, kind of, it's a little Potemkin sounding, but I think that, you know, Jesse and Al and those people would just go away if they did those type of things. You know, it's kind of like, I know a guy you've probably met, he's spoken at Amarin Conference before, Bob Weisberg. He said stuff like that before. So what do you think?
Here's what I think, okay? I think, for example, if you are applying to some place like law school, medical school, college, or whatnot, and you take one of these standardized tests, what you should do before you do it is take one of these DNA tests that are advertised widely now. And they seem to almost always turn up in your ancestry some black, Hispanic, American, Indian heritage, particularly black. You know, that trumps all. If you have one drop of black blood in your ancestry, put down that you're black and defy them to say, to prove differently. You've got the test results. You know, we need to play their own game. We need to... you know, adopt their tactics of dissimulation and lying. But trying to be straightforward and honest doesn't get you anywhere in a world that is based on the great lie of liberalism. For example, that all races are equal, all races are the same, there is no such thing as race. That's, you know, the myth of race, I think, was one of the books by, what's that guy's name? Well, Gould said that, and then there was the guy that has that English-sounding name. What was it? Who is actually Jewish? I'm drawing a blank right now.
Well, what we need to know is that the bigger the lie, apparently, the more susceptible people are to swallow it.
So just look, you know, just assume the mantle. You know, people used to be scared to death that they had one drop of black blood in their ancestry. Now people are coveting that drop of black blood. So, you know, let's use it. Let's, you know, whatever the game is, let's play it. It's important that you're not frozen out of the action, which apparently is what the left hopes to do to all whites, particularly white males.
All right, thank you for the call, Pete. Eddie, right. You had something you wanted to say about this?
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was?
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. You know, I can't hear don't have the headphones, so I don't know the guest. It's the educator that was ruined, but I'll just put this as far as the educators. Evidently, he was a fine educator. But people, the system, the so-called liberals, they don't want fine educators. That's why the school system has been dumbed down. They don't want bright students. They don't want bright students to wake up and see what's really going on. They want to hold them down just like they want to hold the white students.
They want
down.
A dependent class.
They want to destroy the school systems, you know, and keep everybody on the plantation. So, I mean, you just look around and see what the shambles that the school system is in. So once these blacks... If a black is intelligent enough, and believe it or not, some blacks are very intelligent. The ones that are, they were educated, and they wake up and see the reality of what's going on, who's controlled them, who's been using them all these years and years and years, they will throw that yoke yoke of tyranny off, and will join the so-called conservatives.
Well, one can always hope, and there are some. I wish there were more, and I would certainly work with them. Go, Keith.
Well, I'm afraid they probably wouldn't, because there are so many advantages to being one of these protected classes of people now that everybody is striving to do. Middle Easterners, for example, are trying to redefine themselves so that they can get a piece of the affirmative action pie. I just read that recently this week, I think. Unfortunately, everybody is trying to do that because we are now no longer, e pluribus unum, one people united. Divisions are solid gold, and if you want to get ahead in the new politically correct America that has been constructed by the left, you will find some way to shoehorn yourself into some protected minority group. And, you know, these DNA tests provide the perfect opportunity for doing that.
I guess the only way for a white man to do it is to become Bruce Jenner. It's just a crazy world in which we live, but God gave us 3 hours on Saturday to try to make sense of it, and so we take every second that is at our disposal here on the Political Cesspool and do our very best with the support of our audience and our friends out there. Speaking of friends, I want to say one more word. Coming full circle now, going back to the very first segment of the first hour, there was something that I left out that was perhaps the biggest highlight of my vacation last week. My wife and I got to go to a restaurant in Central Florida, and we're not going to mention who or where exactly, but there was a certain employee at this restaurant who is a big supporter of our work and one of our great friends, and we had the chance to share a meal with him, and it was great hooking up with someone who means so much to this show, even there in Central Florida. So I want to say hello to that particular gentleman. We'll be back with the third hour right after this.
Liberty News Radio Network.